there. Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal? Weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey, creepies, welcome to episode 250. Nate is your tech engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. How's it going, guys?
It's good.
Going good.
Good to hear.
250, you say?
I did say 250.
It's like the America's birthday here this year.
Is that a fact?
That's a fact, Jack.
That's a fact, Jack.
That's what they tell me, anyway.
250.
That's a lot of years, at least for this country, but I know in... As you know, that's, a lot of the countries out there, that's nothing.
We're just a baby. Nothing.
We are just a baby.
Infantile.
Yeah, 250 is not bad.
It's not too shabby.
Yeah, and it's not bad for 250 episodes, full episodes.
Uh-huh. So. Halfway to 500.
Yeah.
I was telling
a patient
of mine who started listening, Dan out there. Shout out to Dan.
Thanks, early Dan, for listening.
Yeah, right. And, he said, "How long have you guys been on?" And I said, and I was like, "Ooh, should I say? Oh, not very long. Why?" You know, I said, "Almost 5 years this year."
Just,
he's like,
"We've done it for a few months."
Man, you suck. No. He's just asking. He was like, "How long have you guys been doing this?" And so he was interested in, like, you know, how do we get started, and, you know, who kind of mentored us. And so I told him all about Jerry and Tracy and a lot of the people out there we met and different things. And so, yeah, he was very interested to figure
that out. I had the same thing today.
Did you really?
Yeah, we had a
you
staff.
And Dan.
Dan and I got together, Dan. And yep. He wanted to hear my side of it. I said, "Whatever Sean told you, don't believe
it. I don't trust that Sean guy. He's got shifty eyes."
No, I we had our staff lunch today, and I had my Mako sweatshirt on, mm-hmm. And a young guy, Max, that works at the church, he goes, "Now, what's the story on the sweatshirt? What's it mean?" I said, "It's a podcast I do." He goes, "You do a podcast? Your podcast?" I said, "Yeah."
Yes.
Yeah. And Brad and Tommy, who I hang out with, and they've gone to dinner with a few times. Max goes, Do you two do it with him? Are you the and Tommy goes, "We're not middle aged." I said, "That's true. You're 29 and 26, so you're far from middle aged." So yeah. So Max said, "Is it on Spotify?" Yeah. I said, "It's on all the listening platforms." So he goes, "I'm gonna check it out.
Rate and review."
He was so excited. Yeah, I know. So it was nice.
Can't review
was,
on Spotify, but it was.
So then as we walked out of the hub where we had the luncheon, he looked at my sweatshirt. He goes, "Middle aged creeped out. Got it." He goes, "I'm going to check it out."
Yeah, that's
I said,
cool.
"Well, thank you."
Very good.
Yeah.
That's nice. Awesome.
So
the hub always makes me think of Hubbubaloo, but I was thinking about or Grubhub.
When they called it the hub a few years ago, mm-hmm. I refused to call it the hub.
Really?
I didn't like the word hub. I just didn't like it being called hub. Now I call it hub. So. Yeah, that's just a side story. Doesn't mean
that's
anything.
That's all right.
Has nothing to do with what I previously told you about.
Where's the story going?
I don't know.
You're acting like me. That's all right, though. Nothing wrong with it.
But anyway, yeah, so we might have two listeners. Good.
Woohoo.
You sweet. Guys having a good week so far? It is Wednesday, so we're on our normal night.
It's been busy, but it's a good week. I can't complain. Yeah. Weather's not too shabby.
No, not at all. I don't complain at all. When I go to the dumpster and throw the trash away, I'm like, oh. Nice. I don't have to run right back.
Exactly. Right, exactly. I'm going to freeze out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got the day off tomorrow, so.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah.
What you doing?
Well, I'm actually having lunch with Kyle Ferguson.
Nice.
And the senior pastor of his church mm-hmm. is going to be with us, and we're going to talk about the new, they don't have a building. They use like the middle school or something.
Yeah.
Or one of the schools in Canby or Mooresville. And so they're going to get their own building, mm-hmm. and they're going to remodel it, and they're going to need a cleaning company.
There
so
you go.
We're going to discuss that.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's
nice.
Good.
So we're going to go to the Metro
really
Diner,
mm-hmm.
have lunch. So
get some Eggs Benedict.
I told Kyle, I said, I said, is it already like ready to go or what? What's going on? This is like a week ago. And he goes, no, they got to remodel it. He goes, so it'll be a few months. And I said, well, why don't we just wait until it's done?
Yeah.
Because I'll have to look at it to see you know, and he goes, no, that'll be the second lunch. So he wants to have two lunches. So I said, all right.
It's pretty awesome, actually.
That'll work. So we'll, a business this lunch. This is preliminary talks, and then we'll, if that goes okay, then I'll, whenever they're done with the building, remodeling it to make it their church.
I'm going
to
slide this piece of paper over with a number on it.
Yeah. So anyway, but other than that, that's all I'm doing. I was going to have dinner with Elijah, but he got another job, so he's working at Sky Zone, where his sister works.
Oh, okay.
She still works there a little bit, but she mainly works at the rec center. So yeah, so he just got a job again. He's making money. So I said, you know, don't forget to tell me if we can have dinner tomorrow. And a few minutes later, he's like, oh, I'm working. And I'm like, oh. I said, nah, bummer. But
we have to do
good
that.
Good for him.
It's weird, isn't it? Like, we have to ask. Jenna did that the other day. She's like, hey, are you kids working? Or she's like, yeah. Well, she actually did say that. She goes, you kids working tomorrow? And she put on the family group chat. Mm. And Claire's like, no, I don't work. And Harrison's like, I do. And I go, I do, but you probably didn't worry about that. And she goes, I didn't ask you. Or she put, she goes, I didn't ask you, silly. And I go, don't worry, I'll go back to my hole.
I didn't know Clara worked.
Rally House?
Oh, that's right. She works. I didn't know that.
She always said, well, I was asked, like, how was work? It was boring. And I was like,
well, I did know that.
God bless you. She makes good money, so
yeah,
she's been happy. She pays for things like gas and clothes. And
yeah.
She went to the grocery store the other day because Jenna has told her, she's like, because she's like, well, when are we going to get groceries? Mom, why don't we go out to, you know, go get groceries together? And Jenna's like, I'm tired. Let's do it tomorrow. Let's do it over the weekend. And she's like, you know, Claire, you could go do this. And so I was real proud of her. She came home. She's like, can you help me get the groceries out of the van? And I go, oh, yeah. I said, where's your mom at? And she goes, I went by myself.
Nice.
I asked her, I go, did anybody hit on you? Because that used to be the thing. Like, guys would hit on, you know, young girls in the grocery store. She goes, no, why? And I go, never mind. Never mind. Well, don't look for it. But anyway, so.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I was proud of her. She's all grows up.
All grows up.
Yeah, that's too much for my blood, but too rich for my blood.
Yeah, I'll have an 18-year-old on Sunday. I have an adult as a child.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
As a kid,
weird thought.
So, well, anyway, I'm glad we're having a good week. I hope the creepies are having a good week whenever they listen to this episode. Okay. So, it is time, and it is not the dad joke of the show, but the riddle.
Oh, you're putting
the dad
to the
riddle
test.
Of the show. That's right.
Get all stressed out.
Pull it up here.
Riddle.
I think it's medium. I don't think it's
medium.
Like too simple, and I don't think it's that hard.
So we're gonna be stumped.
No, I think you'll get it. I think you'll get it. I went through many riddles, and this is the one I chose. All right. It has keys but no locks. It has space but no room. You can enter but can't go inside. What is it?
Piano.
A piano, you say? No.
I was like, keys. What else has keys?
Keyboard.
Okay, yeah. Darn. That's close.
Nate's like, keyboard.
That's close. Darn.
Yeah. That's...
Mm-hmm. You go, piano? No, not piano.
Good job, Nate.
I'm a runner-up.
Good job, Nate.
Yay. Distant runner-up.
And that is the dad riddle of the show. And you are welcome, creepy. So, there you go. Yeah. That's all I had.
I had to take all the clues and
just put them all together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It didn't take you very long. Under a minute. Like I said, I was desperate. I waited till the last second to choose it. So anyway, Sean, you got first announcements?
I do. We come here for the guy time, the paranormal, the creepy. Every week we've done this pretty consistently for almost 5 years, right?
Almost.
The most important thing we do though is make sure that we're out here creating a mental health community. And so we want you to call or text 988 or text home to 741-741 for any type of mental distress, suicide prevention, or any other type of crisis that you or someone you know may be experiencing. So go get you some help. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Well said. Good job.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Muster up the courage and the energy and do it.
And there's a lot of Facebook groups out there with mental health support.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, get on some of them. There's a lot of people out there that can bounce ideas off of each other and encourage each other. So it's a pretty cool thing. and on Instagram as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I follow a few.
Yeah, it's nice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's nice that in this
community
day and age, all the resources that are at your fingertips. Available.
That's right.
I know it. And that's pretty cool. No excuses not to get help. So, yeah. Anyway, well, thank you, Sean.
Mm-hmm. No problem.
We are going to get right to it. What are we talking about for this episode 250?
This is Nate's pick, and it is the Smurl House. And if interested, please check out our show notes for the source links we use for this topic. It's not the Smurf House.
I almost said that. Papa
Smurf.
Beat me to it.
You Papa Smurf.
Take the L. That's out, what makes me
think. I was like, did he miss? Hey, I think he, you know, did some like typo there. That's Smurf House.
I was hoping his first. I was hoping his paranormal. First name was Earl.
Earl the Smurl.
Earl Smurl.
Earl Smurl.
Do you it's, have, not.
It's not. It's not. Do you have any foundation on the Smurl House?
I do. The Smurl House, located at 328 330 Chase Street in, I don't know why you need a dash in there, but in West Pittston, Pennsylvania, is a residential property infamous for alleged supernatural activity from 1974 to 1989, primarily involving the Smurl family. Jack and Janet Smurl, their four daughters, and Jack's parents, John and Mary Smurl.
Hmm.
That's them. That's the Smurls.
Okay. All right.
I've never heard the name Smurl. Now, I'm not making fun of the name Smurl, but I've never.
It's a funny name. Interesting last name.
I worked with a lady, and I'm just getting, this isn't a HIPAA violation. It better not be anyway. But I've never worked with I've worked with many Pollys, but I've never worked with a Pollyanna. She's this cute little 90-some-year-old lady, and I told her that. I said, in 24 years, I've never worked with a Pollyanna. And she smiled. She goes, I'm your first. I said, yes.
But, nice.
Yeah. Made me think of the movie. But yeah. So the Smurls.
There you go.
Nice. So this.
Have you ever heard of this before? I had not. I have.
Because Ed and Lorraine Warren.
I was going to say, I've heard part of
this. It's a pretty
this.
Popular story.
Because it inspired The Conjuring is the only reason I know about it. But otherwise, it's not something that's on the forefront of my mind.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. It inspired The Conjuring, Last Rites.
Mm-hmm. Creepy. So, you guys seen that?
No.
No.
I haven't either.
I didn't want to pay $20 for it.
Yeah.
I don't blame you. It's on streaming, but I don't want to pay that much. I'll wait till 5 years from now it gets down to $5 or something. I've got here Jack and Janet Smurl, along with their daughters, moved into their new home after flood damage displaced them. Soon they encountered strange phenomena, noises, odors, and objects moving without cause. Escalation followed. Violent poltergeist activity, physical and even sexual assaults by an unseen entity. Seeking help, they invited investigators, Ed and Lorraine Warren, who identified spirits and a powerful demon who was tormenting them. So, there you go.
Yeah, you hit quite a few of the paranormal phenomenon that they attach to this. Did you mention levitations?
No.
Mm-mm.
And then foul stenches. You did say smells. And blood-curdling screams in the middle of the night.
That'll get your attention, freaky. Right? Yeah. No kidding.
This home is an 80-year-old fixer-upper. So, kind of old. You know, 80 years old, yeah.
The foul odors, it says they resembled rotting flesh. So, if you're wondering. Appliances were malfunctioning. It said, like you said, Todd, events escalated to violent physical assaults. The sexual thing is weird, right? Mm-hmm. And including the family dog being thrown against the wall.
That's terrible.
A light fixture falling and cutting a daughter, and Jack Smurl being lifted and thrown across the room.
Wow.
Yeah. And for my next trick...
The Warrens visited the Smurl home in 1986, which Ed confirmed was possessed by a very powerful demon.
Mm-hmm.
He and Lorraine spent months at the home collecting what they claimed to be evidence, mostly in the form of audio recordings of the demonic presence.
Oh, wow.
This is interesting. It says the family also reported seeing dark masses, shadow figures, and sudden temperature drops. In January 1986, the Smurls sought help from, like you said, Ed and Lorraine Warren, who identified four entities in the home: a malevolent demon, an elderly woman, possibly named Abigail, because they always have to have a name, right? A young and violent girl and a man possibly named Patrick.
Mm. Oh, Patrick. So I guess this house was a double.
Yeah.
And on the other half of the home, Jack's parents, John and Mary, lived there.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, this says, yeah, it was a double block duplex, what they called it.
Mm-hmm.
328 to 330 Chase Street. Like I said, it's an 80-year-old fixer-upper, and they were working on the house, painting it and doing things to it to spiff it up. And that's when they started, it said within months, that's when they started noticing strange things. Janet, the mom, noticed mysterious stains on the carpet and odd odors like sulfur and rotten eggs.
Ugh. Ooh.
That's gross.
It is gross.
So that's kind of how it started when they were started to fix it up.
Yeah, they were missing tools.
Oh, yeah.
And not only the carpet stains, but they had wall stains that emerged after they finished painting.
Oh.
So as it was drying, yeah. You know, they'd get up the next morning, there'd be a stain coming through.
An upside down cross, pentagram.
Yeah.
666. Now, who did that? Grandma, did you do that?
Yeah.
This says the Warrens concluded the demon was using the other spirits to torment the family, they conducted multiple exorcisms, with a final one reportedly performed by the Catholic Church in 1987. So they got the Catholic Church involved.
Wow.
Yeah, I was going to say, this says that they had numerous priests mm-hmm. that attempted blessings and exorcisms without lasting success. So, yeah, they called in the priest to...
So, emphasis on the very powerful demonic presence.
Yeah.
They actually had an unplugged kitchen appliance that caught fire.
Oh.
That's wild.
That's weird.
Now, how in the heck does that happen?
That is weird.
Blowtorch.
That is wild.
Well, yeah, it's going to catch fire if you get a blowtorch on it.
Local media began covering the story in the early 1980s. The media attention brought reporters and ghost enthusiasts to Chase Street, making privacy impossible for the family. I can't imagine what they, you know, once the media gets a hold of something like that. Yeah, you're pretty much on notice the whole time.
Under a microscope, yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah. No privacy whatsoever.
So this is interesting. So despite the exorcisms, the family reported that paranormal activity followed them to their new home in Wilkes-Barre, prompting a fourth exorcism. So it wasn't just this house. So it had to been that they had to been carrying this thing around, right? The case gained national attention, inspiring the 1986 book The Haunted, a 1991 made-for-TV movie, and the 2025 film Conjuring the Last Rites, which loosely adapted the events. The house remains a private residence and is not open to the public, which there are apparently no more hauntings either. No supernatural activity has been reported by subsequent tenants since 1988. The Smurl family's story remains controversial, with some sources suggesting it was all a hoax. With a hoax confidence rating of have we ever had a hoax confidence rating? It has a hoax confidence rating of 7 out of 10.
Hmm.
That's weird. Jack Smurl died in 2017, and Janet Smurl and their daughters continue to reside near West Pittston, reporting no further paranormal incidents since the final exorcism. So it was Jack. No, just kidding. I don't know. Like, unless you were actually there and you know what they experienced, it is so hard to judge.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It is weird that there was no other families before or after that had any incidents as just them. But we've talked about that before, some of these places where
Attached to the person.
It's attached to one of the people or the whole family. I mean, we've had multiple incidences, you know, that we've covered that have had that.
Yeah. Go ahead, Nate.
Like Mary and Jeanette, they heard voices that sounded like one another.
Hmm.
And Jeanette claims to be... molested by some unseen presence in her sleep. Jack also saw a shadowy figure run up his wife's leg in the night.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, that's not good.
They claimed to see dark masses. And then Jack was also sexually assaulted by the presence numerous times.
Yeah, I saw that.
That is wild.
Yeah, it is. So one of the entities, supposed entities, says was an elderly woman considered relatively harmless but unsettling. She was often described as wearing old-fashioned clothing and sometimes drifting silently through the rooms. Though she did not harm the family directly, her presence contributed to the feeling of unease inside the home. The Warrens suggested she might have been an original occupant or someone tied to the property's long history. So, the elderly woman. You know, didn't do anything to harm him, I guess, but was there, was a presence.
It says when they first moved in, so at first the home seemed to be a good move for the family. Jack was promoted at work, the kids were excelling in school, the in-laws were happy, but that didn't last long. Soon the Smurls were struggling to make ends meet. Mary, Jack's mother, suffered a heart attack. The ghostly visits, meanwhile, intensified. Mary and Janet claimed to have perceived voices that sounded like one another. Janet thought she heard her mother-in-law calling her name, while Mary thought she heard Janet and Jack in the throes of an argument laden with expletives. Ominous black masses formed and floated through the home. Janet said she was visited in the dead of the night by a malevolent force that molested her in her sleep, like you guys are talking about. Then Jack started experiencing the horrors in his home, in his home. Lying in bed with Janet, he heard someone whispering, a young woman, it seemed. When he turned to face his wife, he watched a shadowy figure run up her leg. After that night, life in the Smurl house grew even darker. So it's like,
If half of this was true,
yeah,
right? It's enough.
I mean, and I have to say, this isn't to be funny, but the that looks like a total 80s family.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah. The hair, I saw the picture. And the vibe.
So when Ed Warren got there and Lorraine, they were touring the house and he invoked the name of Jesus and commanded the spirit to reveal itself. According to him, the spirit in the house reacted immediately. Within seconds, the room turned icy cold. And then there was a foul stench. He would describe it as rotting flesh, like you mentioned earlier. Objects on the bureau started to move in front of the bureau. And a mucus-like, smoky-type substance.
Ectoplasm.
That's quite a description,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Mucus-type.
Mucus-like, smoky-type substance.
It's weird.
Swirled and materialized on the mirror, spelling out filthy obscenities.
Oh. Jeez.
Telling me in no certain term to get out of the house.
Ray? Ray?
So in,
what'd you do, Ray?
As we said earlier in Ed's assessment, it was a very powerful, intangible, and very dangerous demon.
Sounds like all those exorcisms.
One of the other entities, a little more violent than the older woman, was a supposed young girl. Says a far more sinister presence was a young girl whose violent nature caused much of the poltergeist activity. She was blamed for objects being hurled, loud bangs, scratching family members, and eerie screams heard during night hours. This spirit appeared particularly aggressive towards Janet Smurl and Jack's mother, Mary, often leading to emotional and physical distress. The Warrens believe this girl was being controlled or manipulated by the darker power within the home. So, yeah. So it was a young girl entity.
Oh. Reading a little spot here about when they were doing the exorcisms. So they asked the priest to come by the house and perform exorcism. The priest, in fact, reportedly performed three, all of which were unsuccessful. Janet Smurl said they had failed because the demon had traveled back and forth between the halves of the double block.
Oh.
Depending on which side of the exorcism was taking place.
My goodness.
So he was very smart.
Crafty.
He's an educator.
You can't get me. I'm behind this wall.
Neener, right? This talks about a little bit what we've already been talking about, but a little more interesting plots in here. It says, the evil intensifies. A light fixture fell from the ceiling, cutting one of the daughters on impact. The family dog was thrown against the wall. Janet said she was picked up by an invisible presence, which I thought the husband was too, dangling some 6 feet in the air and then tossed across the room. Jack claimed a succubus entered the living room and raped him while a baseball game played on the TV. Even neighbors reported hearing screams from the house while the family was out. That's not good. Mm. So y'all, and if they were having, so it begs the question, why do you stay?
Succubus.
Why would you stay, right?
Yeah, yeah, I know. We've but it's not as easy as everybody
knows. I know. Well, and then they you know, they start having, you know, like financial
issues. Not everybody
issues,
can do that, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you're talking about Jack getting, by the succubus. It said, later the demon would attack Janet, who was paralyzed in bed next to a sleeping Jack. The Smurls also said that the entity would bite Jack on the ear and shake their bed at night.
Frisky. that's all I can think. I didn't have to put a quarter
in. I don't know about that. Yeah.
Shake.
Like, like you mentioned earlier.
Vacation.
There's a lot of there's a lot of skepticism to it, too.
What was that?
I don't know. skeptic.
My brain actually processed that. I was like, wait a minute. Hold on.
Yeah.
Back up.
It's a problem I've always had. I hear the word right in my head, but I can't pronounce it.
I make up words. I make up words all the time, and I have to catch myself.
So, Jack Smurl, in 1983, he had surgery to remove water on his brain, which was causing him short-term memory loss and probably a condition that he was getting from having a meningitis when he was in his late 20s. So little things like that, they're like, well, obviously he wasn't, he was having some memory and brain issues and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, skeptics sort of weigh on that, saying, ah, it's all hocus pocus. They're just hallucinating and delusional.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's evidence supporting both avenues for sure.
Yeah. There's a lot of
skeptics. A lot of people were real skeptic about Ed and Lorraine too.
Oh, they're very polarizing. Mm-hmm. Coming off of what you just said, Nate, it says not everyone believed the Smurls or the Warrens. Paul Kurtz, a college professor and chairman of the scientific investigation of claims of the paranormal, was a topic critic of the Warrens. He said of Ed and Lorraine, they have no credentials in the scientific or parapsychological communities. He said the story was a hoax, or is a hoax. Says in addition to the priest who stayed with the Smurls, he could find no signs of demonic possession. The Catholic Church insisted it never authorized any exorcisms. Janet Smurl countered that a priest had been sent by the Vatican to perform multiple exorcisms, as we had said earlier, on the house. As far as neighbors, they questioned the Smurl story and were agitated by the camera crews constantly outside the home. Some people began throwing bricks at the house to try to scare the Smurls away. Nice. And lastly, others believe the Smurls had concocted the story to make money. However, the Smurls reportedly never received royalties for the book and TV adaptations of their story. So,
interesting, right?
Yep.
I like the way that this is. So they talk about the exorcism type, you know, avenue of it. The late Vatican exorcist, Friar Gabriel Amorth, was fond of reminding both the faithful and the skeptical that one of Satan's primary goals is to destroy the family. It is an old strategy to divide and conquer loving souls in hopes of thwarting them of heavenly reward. Some would say that Amityville operated under a similar strategy of division with paranormal delusions of terror. However, there is this haunting that is considered just as devastatingly terrifying as Amityville, and that is the Smurl Haunting House of West Pittston.
I know, that's what I say. Pittston.
I know. That's a whole other discussion we're having, right? Pitstop. Pennsylvania. So yeah, it is. That's an interesting thing, though. It is true that like a lot of these families, that's what it seems like it's trying to do, is just like, you know, destroy everything, you know, destroy their morale, destroy the love they have for each other. They're in constant fear, chaos. They're being abused physically, mentally, spiritually. It'd be terrifying. That's why I can't judge these people and say, oh my gosh, it's totally made up. And why would anybody want this kind of, you know, like spotlight. Nobody would ask for this. I can't imagine unless you're really, really sick. But they just, they seem like they were a perfectly normal family.
The did we say that something about the Warrens, they determined, I know we said that they had said there was four entities, but they said there were two female spirits. And one was a male spirit who had died in the home or on the property. I think that's, yeah. And then it said the fourth entity was the, that's the main one, the demonic spirit who forced the human entities to do its bidding. So, yeah, I didn't know there was two female spirits. They were told there was an EVP. The Warrens were told to get out of the house. The Warrens did find a cause for why this demon targeted the Smurls. According to Ed, the family was among the chosen, in quotes, meaning people who were picked by demons to haunt and terrorize. So they were picked by this demon.
Sort of like Poltergeist? The movie?
Oh, the movie.
Exactly right.
Yeah. Kind of like that.
So they talked about the priest that had to live with them briefly with the Smurls. So they, so as not to appear cold to the situation, after half a week, the priest left due to no activity surfacing. However, the Smurls underwent a second and third exorcism shortly after. Finally, in 1987, the family had had enough of the activity in the home and moved. Weeks into their new home, the solitary black mass manifested and the terror slowly began again. Reaching out with one final plea, the family was able to procure a fourth and final exorcism, this time from the Catholic Church. Details about that went on during, or what went on during that were kept secret, but it was believed to be the longest and most powerful of the four exorcisms the family endured. Today, the family remains out of the paranormal spotlight. Both of Jack's parents are now deceased, and so is Jack himself. We said they died in 2017. And Janet and her now adult daughters still reside near the West Pittston area and have reported no paranormal activity. Says, in the demonic battle for souls of the Smurl family apparently won. How about that?
Yeah, Jack died at the age of 75. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Wouldn't you have, I'd had nightmares, and you'd think, wouldn't you be just thinking, like, if it lasted, you know, even just a little bit, you'd be like, oh my gosh, when's that going to come back? I would be terrified. You'd be traumatized.
Well, you'd be on edge, like,
right?
The whole time.
Every day.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Like, waiting for the next whatever to happen.
Yeah. The sexual part of it is very disturbing. I mean, if that was true, if that did happen, that's... that's pretty scary. Succubus and I don't know. I'm a big skeptic, and we haven't done an episode on the Warrens, which we need to, because they're so, like I said, polarizing and popular in the paranormal on all these these investigations they've done over the years. I'm very skeptical of the Warrens myself. I think they're money grabbers, but as far as the Smurl family, I mean, if they didn't make any money off of the book or any movies or any whatever, it's got to be something to it. I mean, if they're willing, I mean, they're not putting themselves out there as far as like agitating the neighbors. I mean, who would want to do that?
Their neighbors was his parents.
No, I'm talking about the neighbors that were getting mad at the all the crews, the media around and throwing bricks at the house and all that. Like, why would you want to put yourself in that position? I mean, I wouldn't make anything up like this.
One of the big things with this home too was like, they brought it to attention, Ed and Lorraine, that because they're like saying that the Amityville home was a hoax too.
Yeah.
It was like, well, you got to remember that, what was it? The son killed his parents and four siblings or whatever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there was, you know, an evil act that happened in that home.
Yeah. I mean, there was definitely a murder.
But there is nothing like that in this home.
Right.
Yeah.
Not where the Smurls were at. So they don't have like a definite, like, oh, well, there's dark energy because this happened here.
Yeah, or somebody right. brought something there.
There was no
yeah.
precedent of...
Yeah.
They weren't devil worshipping or anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
No Ouija boards that we know of. Or Ouija boards.
Ouija.
Making up stuff again.
Somebody called in the other day on the Jim Harold show and called it Ouija. She said Ouija 20 times. I just wanted to go through the radio.
So this is interesting because everywhere you look, the videos, the editorials and all the stuff says that everybody else that lived there never had any instances, but this is, unless this person's not accurate, but her name is Deanna, and she says, not as haunted as Amityville. I lived there, so she says she lived at the house. I lived there with my family as a child. My dad later passed in the home, but not because of the home. Scary stuff happened, but was tolerable. Parents fought daily, but I don't contribute that to the house. My mom had serious mental illness because of her childhood. Mm. Bottom line is stuff did happen there, but I would rather live there than Amityville. I don't know why she's fixated on that. Mm. And if for sale, I would buy it in a heartbeat. The house was and is my childhood. And somebody else said, thanks, Deanna. What kind of scary stuff happened? I've had dreams of that house since I read about this situation in 1999. I met the priest, I guess it's Monsignor John Essif, who said he was part of an exorcism. It's interesting that the Smurls moved, and the only thing that saved them was a fourth exorcism. But no details are out there on that one. I know the Vatican eventually was involved. The book ends with the failed third exorcism, but I believe your story's 100%, or your story 100%. It says, I've also read a story where people who were friends of the homeowners, not the Smurls, but maybe someone after, went over there and saw plates flying around. The Smurls moved out in 87-89 timeframe, and then had their fourth exorcism by then. So it's interesting, people going back and forth and talking about. So it sounds like it's kind of BS that there wasn't, other people said, oh, there was still some either residual or whatever. So like, you stay here and keep haunting, and then we're going to go with the Smurls and see what we can do to torment them some more. So,
right.
I have a list of date and year, mainly just year of the happenings. So in 1974, bizarre banging noises on the walls and ceilings begin. Late 1970s, toilets flushing automatically, radio switching on and off, furniture moves, unexplained footsteps are heard, foul stenches of rotting flesh appear and disappear. Also in the late 70s, the family dog, a German Shepherd mix, is allegedly picked up by an unseen force and thrown against the wall.
Hmm.
In 1983, a light fixture breaks loose from the ceiling and falls, narrowly missing one of the daughters. Hmm. 1985, Janet Smurl reports being physically attacked and left with scratches and bruises. Also in 1985, Jack Smurl is allegedly lifted up by an unseen force and thrown across a room. From 1985 to 1986, Jack Smurl reports being sexually assaulted by a succubus in the living room while watching television.
Baseball.
In 1986, Janet Smurl reports facing assaults from an incubus, which resulted in her being levitated and flung across the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
1986, during Warren investigation, Ed Warren claims to have witnessed a mattress jumping on its own and objects flying off a bureau. He also reported feeling a temperature drop and seeing a black mass. In 1987, the family moves out of the house to Wilkes Bar, but the activity, knocking shadows, and black masses allegedly follow them. In 1988, new tenants, Deborah Owens, moves into the West Pittston home and reports no supernatural occurrences.
Hmm. So there you go. There's the timeline.
Yeah. It's interesting. So I'm reading through some of these comments still, and they're talking. This was before the movie was released in theaters last year. So somebody was commenting, they said, this was a Toddy, person. This is, and I'm just kidding. It's actually somebody that was listed as R, but this sounds like this has to be somebody named Todd. I really hope they don't show the dog being thrown in the upcoming movie. Really don't need to see that. And somebody says, spoiler, they do show the dog being thrown against the wall. And somebody else says, just saw the new Conjuring 4 movie. I thought the TV movie, The Haunted, in 1991 told the Smurl haunting story better. So anyway, who knows? But yeah, they're like, not the dog.
Like, yeah, here on Reddit says, why did the Smurl haunting creep me out more than anything else? It says, I've seen some seriously disturbing gore horror films, real crime stuff. Nothing ever fazed me. But for some reason, reading about the Smurl family haunting gave me legit chills. I don't know why, but the idea of a family being tormented so relentlessly, even to the point of alleged sexual assault by a demon, seriously messed with me. And then and then they ask a question. Does anyone know what the thing was supposed to be? Like, who or what haunted them so badly? Demon, poltergeist, just curious if others felt the same freaky vibe from that case.
So yeah, we talked about the fact that the reason they had to even move into this house in the first place was an act of God. So that's interesting. It says, before any of the alleged encounters with supernatural, the Smurl family first had to contend with a natural disaster. In 1972, the remnants of Hurricane Agnes, that's before us too, but not you. You were 1 year old. The remnants of, I'm doing the math. I'm doing the math. 1972, the remnants of Hurricane Agnes ravaged northeast Pennsylvania. Eventually downgraded to a tropical storm, the system dumped between 10 to 18 inches of rain in a span of 3 days, leading the Saskatchewan River, Saskatchewan River, to crest at 41 feet. Multiple communities experienced severe flooding, leaving an estimated $2.8 billion in damage before adjustments for inflation. So yeah, they were affected by that. Isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm.
One theory of the happenings of the home were possibly environmental contaminants, toxins such as carbon monoxide, and certain sewer gases like hydrogen sulfide are colorless and odorless at low concentrations. They can cause severe neurological and psychological effects, including confusion, memory loss, and vivid auditory and visual hallucinations.
Really?
And they said,
so they throw that
since
in
it was an older home that might have been susceptible to gas leaks.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, now I just don't know.
I don't either. But yeah, like I said, you really don't want to judge people, but then sometimes that's people's job, right? That's what makes them a critic. But I don't know. I would not want to be in this position to have to experience any of that stuff. I also would not want to be hallucinating if that was the
right.
Yeah. My brain's not getting enough.
That wouldn't be good.
I don't know how hallucinations can cause you to fly across a room, but
right. See, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't. This is one of the craziest stories I think we've done.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, as far as a lot for a home haunting, family being haunted.
Yeah, because we've covered several.
Yeah, I think this is one of the most intense.
Yep, and it's more or less 50-50. I mean, it could be a hoax, or there could be some substance to it too.
Yeah,
especially the mucus, like
mucus, like smoke,
smoky. That's so weird. Like
this could be like, yeah, it's like you're saying, maybe 50-50, like the Enfield poltergeist we did on that. That was one that the Warrens investigated.
Jolly old thing.
When it was the single mom, or divorced mom, and her two girls and a boy, I think, or something like that. But Janet was. That's the one where they have the picture of them like hovering over the bed, and they're saying they were lifted, but their critics are saying no, they're just jumping on the bed.
Yeah.
But they admitted that they did have poltergeist and were attacked by something, but then they kind of, to keep it going, they did admit to doing stuff for themselves.
Yeah,
who knows? This might be similar. I don't know.
And you think there could be some mental disorders and mental health issues, but like an entire family being affected by that.
Right, seems
unlikely, but I don't know.
I think they should have gotten the dog's opinion.
That's what I was like. This comment was by Todd, not the dog. All of us feel that way, though, right? I think you've said that before, like movies where you're like, oh, you can take the people, but not the dog.
Not the dog.
Dogs are kids. No, not cool.
Speaking of that, we're watching, you know, Peaky Blinders, and there's a scene where he comes up to the Jewish, like, mob leader or whatever, which is Tom Hardy, and they're out on a beach because he said he was going to retire and move to this beach area, whatever. And so he said, told him, like, when they started doing business together that, like, you know, if you ever cross me in any way, I will kill you. And so he shows up to kill him. Well, then there's a big, beautiful bull mastiff there with him. Mm-hmm. And Rachel the entire time is like, please kill him, but don't do anything to the dog.
Don't touch the dog. Leave the dog alone. Yeah. Oh, I know.
You're not going to tell us. Like,
I know. Yep.
No.
Animals and kids.
Yay! Oh, okay, good. All right. That's what I was hoping.
That was his dying wish. He's like, come on with it. But after you do it, you have to take care of my dog.
Okay.
He told him no initially, but then next episode, you see the dog.
There you go.
He's like, okay, all he good. Took the dog.
All right. Well, anything else on the Smurl family haunting?
Any of you guys up for going to check it out? I guess it's private residence, well, so we have
said
to.
They can't. It's closed.
I know.
It's private.
We could, but we could stand awkwardly at the sidewalk and just stare. And
just stare.
No, I'm not going to go just to stare at it.
Like, can we please come in? Yeah, I know. Yeah, you're right. But if we could, we would.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, we can
check it out.
Dress up.
Check it out.
In like Tyvek suits and stuff.
So. Handyman.
Yeah, we're from the city. We need to... had reports of gas leaks. We need to come in.
It's like the Three Stooges or whatever. We got like the whole place like flooding. I thought you guys were plumbers. You know. Maybe not.
Well, if we don't have anything else on the Smurl family haunting, then let's move on to your segment, whatever you want to call it.
You just never know, right?
That was good, by the way. That was fun to talk about.
A lot
going on.
That's right.
And, you know, a lot of creepy stuff.
That's right.
We like that, don't we?
Well, we do.
All right. Enough of the Smurls. So let's see. What do you think, Nate? I'm going with... see, I don't know. Like I've been...
That racket fracket son of a gun, you never know what he's going to do.
You went with Dark Side, but then I'm really feeling the Dark Side.
Get darker.
Tonight, too.
Get darker. I'm thinking the moment. He's going to lighten it up.
Dark Side.
It's moment.
Ah.
I thought finally, about doing it. I was like, man, they're going to love it if I just keep doing Dark Side Sparrow. Like, I'm never doing a middle-aged moment again. This is funny. Now, the only reason I haven't heard anything that to sway me otherwise, because that happens sometimes, but I did this one just for fun because I'm kind of making fun of everything we've been talking about. This is Citizen Kane, Bottom Drops Out. These people had to have seen better days, but it certainly wasn't when they had to deal with these demons. So this played, and I was like, oh, this would be fun. We'll do this one. So it goes just a little something like this, like this. In my shoes, my toes are busted. My kitchen says my bread is molded. I got a good job at the dollar store, 1 foot in the hole, 1 foot getting deeper. It's so hard not to sing this. Mm-hmm. You can hear it play in your ears, right? With a broken mirror and a blown out speaker, and I ain't got much to lose. I'm faded, flat busted, been jaded, I've been dusted. I know that I've seen better days. 1 foot in the hole, 1 foot getting deeper. I crank it to 11, blow another speaker, and I ain't got much to lose. 'Cause I've seen better days. I've been the star of many plays. I've seen better days, and the bottom drops out. I've seen better days. I've been the star of many plays. I've seen better days, and the bottom drops out. Now my cup is filled with 5-buck wine. I find myself here all the time. Another rip in the glass, another chip in my tooth. Rained on, I've been stained on. Found another goat I tried to put the blame on. And now I'm stepping on all the cracks, so I guess there ain't no use. 'Cause I've seen better days. I've been the star of many plays. I've seen better days, and the bottom drops out. So, and the bottom drops out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I won't go there. There's more to it, but you get the idea that these people have probably seen better days.
They've seen better days.
I think they have.
Right?
So I was just like, eh, we'll add a little levity to it because, man, it's a terrible, heavy topic. And dig ourselves out of that, right?
Yeah.
Well, good job. Make it darker.
It nice. It was dark.
I had to get a little bit. I mean, we're, I say well into the year, but by the time this drops, we will be well into the
couple of weeks in
January, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
2 or 3 weeks, yeah. Because we are ahead on our schedule.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I had to think about that today. Well, thank you, Sean,
mm-hmm.
for a middle-aged moment. Shout-outs. Who wants to start? Who's got shout-outs?
I don't think I have any this week.
No shout-outs for Sean?
No shout-outs for me. Which is very strange. I feel like I'm forgetting somebody.
Hmm. You kind of gave a shout-out to Dan.
To Dan.
For listening to our show.
That counts. There's credit.
You kind of did it ahead of time.
Thanks, Dan. Look at that. Taking care of me.
Nate, any shout-outs?
Can't really think of any.
Hmm. I can't either.
Hmm.
I kind of did one, too, with Max. But, yeah, I don't have any shout-outs, so moving on.
Moving right along.
That's a quick segment.
Is that the first time that we've done, nobody's had a shout-out? Is that
weird? I think so.
Maybe one time? I don't, or one time before? I don't know.
I'd be right. Hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on to the sponsorship, Nate. Hey, Creepies, do you like all things spooky? Do you love the fall season? Do you wish it could be Halloween all year long? Well, at Greenwood Happy Haunts, it is. Greenwood Happy Haunts is a year-round Halloween and fall store located at 248 Market Plaza in Greenwood, Indiana. Custom vintage and unique items adorn the whole store. If you're looking for a unique gift for you or someone else, or just want to visit a place that puts a smile on your face, Greenwood Happy Haunts is for you. Mako listeners can get 10% off a single item when you mention this ad. Come to Greenwood Happy Haunts and get your spook on. Happy hauntings. Thank you, Scott and Corey, and Greenwood Happy Haunts for your sponsorship.
That's right.
They have everything and anything you want.
That is true.
Spooky Halloweeny.
Mm-hmm. Halloweeny.
Halloweeny.
Mm-hmm. Folly. Halloweeny.
Folly.
I like it.
Yeah. Folly and Halloweeny.
Yeah, maybe not folly, but fall-like.
Yes, they do. Mm. They do have everything you need. So what do you say? Go get you some.
Go get you some.
They are two of the nicest people we've ever met. So
that's true.
Good friends of ours.
And they have been amazing to us over the years.
They have. They have. So
they don't know us very well, do they?
Like, wait till they really get to know us.
Exactly, right?
they'll back off.
Monkeys, yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Scott and Corey. We love you guys. Sean, second announcements.
I got them over here. You can follow us on our social media accounts, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and X. Email us at makopodcast@gmail.com. And make sure you hit the subscribe button and give us a 5-star rating and leave a review if the app allows. And whether you are a business or individual and you want to be a show sponsor, email or message us on Facebook or Instagram. And we sell all kinds of awesome merch, so go get you some.
Nice.
That's right.
Excellent.
Yeah. Excellent.
Well, thank you, Sean, for that.
Mm-hmm.
Nate.
Yes.
What do you have for us?
Nothing brings a big smirl to my face than episodes like this.
At least you didn't do fa la la la.
I was wondering if it's going to be a smirk.
I was afraid of that.
And say hi to Papa Smurl.
That's great, though. I like it.
He's dead.
That's a wrap.
That's a wrap. All right. Brings a big smirl to Nate's face.
Gotta love it.
Gotta love it. Well, thank you, Nate. And we want to thank you, Creepies, for listening to our episode 250 and our discussion on the Smurl House. So until next time, Nate is your tech engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged.
And creeped out.
Keep it creepy.